Well, guys, it has been a journey. This particular second round, this semester we're in, it's almost finished, and so very many of you are praising God and leaping for joy that you are almost finished with this grueling semester of the Applied Cross. And for you still being here, I commend you and your desire for the Lord, because many would have stopped at this point. But I know that the Lord loves us so deeply, and we love Him. And you know, for that to really manifest, it's going to require the Applied Cross in personal ways, in ways that are heartbreaking, in ways that reach our heart so we can reach His heart. Ways, speaking of the cross, the true circumcision applied inside of us. Yes, it is His. It is His death. But it reaches our heart and it removes our flesh, because He did really do that, and it really does happen. And we've been talking about that beyond words. We've been experiencing that in our lives. We've been running through city streets, laying on that bed at night in our room, wondering where He is, getting up, pressing past our wayward soul and our fears, all kinds of resistance within us to find Him and to take Him in. And all that we, oh man, all that we have really, really, time and again poured our hearts over this semester. And yet there's so much more to this song, so much more, eternities more. But we're just going to land on the bits the Holy Spirit has for us. And that's what we're going to do tonight, because our time is now very, very limited. And if we continue to just go verse by verse, we would miss much. So I felt for us to progress forward to chapter 6 tonight. And my printer is running out of ink in this sheltering in place season, and it has cut off the verse. But let's go to chapter 6, and then we're going to figure out what verse this is by literally just looking in the chapter. In chapter 6 and verse 12, where she says, "Or ever I was unaware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab." I'm not sure how to pronounce that. There's several things we want to look at here. First of all, her soul made her like this chariot, or these chariots of Amminadab. Now, Amminadab is translated "my people of a willing heart." My people of a willing heart. And she's saying here at this point, chapter 6, after a whole lot of stuff of the Applied Cross, she's saying, "Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab." Amminadab, however that's pronounced. If we look back in chapter 2 and 3, if we look back in chapter 5, her soul made her resist his advances, sleep through his suffering, go her own way, leave him when he needed her. Her soul made her hold on to religion and leave the living person. Her soul made her be out of tune with him when he needed her in true oneness. Her soul made her miss him time and time and time again, over and over. That dagum soul of hers, of mine, of ours, made her miss him. And as we've been talking about so much this semester, that soul that made her miss him broke her heart. She didn't justify. She did at some points, but she broke out of that justification by being made aware of how it was affecting him. and she broke out of the religious cocoon that she had sheltered her flesh with at the end of chapter 2, building a cocoon of all the things he had spoken and given and done to her. But he was gone. It was just his things. She broke out of that selfish cocoon of religion, and she realized he wasn't there at the end of chapter 2. Her soul constantly leading her back to the earth, back to the little foxes, back to the things that ensnared her in the flesh and kept her from the true song of songs of his heart, to have a wife after his kind, filled with his nature, no flesh dividing them, separating them, no differences of mind, his life filling her. Her soul made her fall back on that and be separate from him and have her own mind and get her own way and do it her own, all her, instead of him, I am not, but he is living in me. That soul, it's that soul we've been talking about, and how it needed the cross every day. And she was faithful. You know, you can go, okay, here I am, such a mess at the end of chapter 2. We talked about it so much this semester. And I find myself sleeping through in my own comfort and needs the time when he wants his life to pour out of me, leaping on mountains, bringing forth, giving just the lamb for others, for the Father. And I'm wanting to stay safe in my little room. My soul. It's causing me alarm. It's the song we used to sing in the Great Rock Band years ago. It's the soul that's causing us alarm. It's so aware of the pain that's involved and the loss that's involved and the lack of comfort and what the cost will be to me. So unaware of the Lamb who wants to be our life, to be the life of his wife. And the times when she let her soul win the day, she was left without him. Not that she wasn't saved, and we're not speaking of being in Christ and the finished work of the cross. I'm talking about the living life flow that true abiding brings, according to Jesus in John chapter 15. She was left without him, just with her stuff. But her soul won. What does that mean? She got her way. She got her way. She didn't have to suffer. She didn't have to leave her comfort zone. She got to get more sleep. She got to feel good about herself with her religion that proved everything was okay based on things he did in the past, not on what's happening now in real life, by his life. She got her way when her soul won the day. And I believe she looked around at what she won, her prize, her great prize, her soul bought for her. And she was alone. She's like, I may have my way. I may have everything that I wanted and everything that I was not willing to give up and everything that I thought was so important. I got my way. But I lost him. I lost him. All these treasures and all this protection for my flesh and all these things that I think are so important that I just have to have, can't live without. I got it all. My soul won. But I lost him. I lost him. And she's going, I'm not so sure this is all it's cracked up to be, this protecting my soul and feeding my soul and not denying my soul and not embracing the cross and following Jesus, picking up my cross wherein I am crucified with Christ and following the Lamb who is my life whithersoever he goes. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, if any man or woman, person, if anyone will follow me, he must deny his soul life, pick up his cross, which we know we were crucified on with Christ, and follow me. And we know that that me is the one that's now inside of us. If anyone wants to be with me, they have to deny that soul, pick up that cross, and let him live. Jesus said it. And just matter of fact, he's not coming on heavy. He's just talking facts, just logic, practical. And walked on. Well, a lot of times the Shulamite or the Shunammite or the person here, the person there, me, you, whomever, we can go, you know, I know he said that, but I don't believe it. I think I can work it where I can have my soul and Jesus too. I can have my cake and eat it too. I can have my soul fed, but I can have Jesus too. I know Jesus said that, but I have a talents of manipulation, and I can work the system like nobody. I got it. I got a gift in this area. And I think that I can maybe slip one under, you know, the radar to Jesus. And I can get my soul fed, and I can still get the Lamb in the deep, wonderful ways that I desire him, that I hear him speaking of, from the being spoken of by the Father, the way he wants to reveal that person that he is, that eternal nature. I want that, but I want my soul. And I think she was trying to work it. And I think at the end of chapter 2, she's like, dude, this is totally, totally possible. You know why? Because we just had a chapter and a half. I mean, did you read chapter 1? Have you read the majority of chapter 2 in the Song of Songs? He loves me. My goodness, he's brought me into his chambers. He's taken me to the banqueting table. I mean, I have the spikenard filling my heart in the dark night. I'm under the apple tree, the shade, the fruit, the access, the incredible experiential knowing that I have partaken of really, truly, not in religion, but in truth. This is all mine. It's settled. I got it. I've got this. There's no turning back now. I can live for self and hold on to all those great things that he imparted to me in that first season of chapter 1 and 2. And you know what? That was great, but I'm tired. I mean, seeking God and all that living union stuff where you mean it's the living God and my heart is panting and I'm just crying out, my flesh and my bones and my every part of me is crying out like a doe seeking water, man, I for the living God, and hungering and thirsting and just with all my mind, my strength, my being, my soul, my heart, with all your soul is in that person, in that heart. That's exhausting. I can't keep that up forever. I need a break. She took a break at the end of chapter 2. I need a break. You know what? Break week is coming in the Bible school in a couple weeks, maybe less. I don't know. I should know. I'm a teacher, but I know it's soon. You know what? I need a break from seeking the living God. Dadgummit, it's a lot of work. It's exhausting. And he's there. He's sharing his heart. It's real. It's not religious. It's not just Bible school. God's moving. It's a visitation. The Spirit of God is pouring out and revealing the Son to anyone who wants him. Lord, that's exhausting. I need a break. I deserve a break. I'm going to take a break from life. I will give life chapter 1 and the majority of chapter 2. But let me tell you, come the end of chapter 2, my flesh and my soul are crying out for some downtime. And I deserve it because I was very kind to him in chapter 1 and 2. I ate those apples. I sat under that shade. I went into that chamber that the king hath brought me into. I did all that. I deserve a break. Back to me, my soul. It's hard on my soul. My soul's not used to denying itself. You know, my soul. God is a merciful God. His loving kindness endureth forever, and his mercies are new every morning. Well, this morning, I need a lot of mercy. My soul's tired, and my body's tired. And I'm tired of seeking the living God because it's exhausting to me in some ways. I am taking a break. Thor's like, okay, this is a love song and it's a love relation. I can't force you to love me and deny your soul because you love me and treasure me more than your own soul life. And I ain't going to have somebody preach you to do that or teach you into that. That's not a doctrinal rule that you have to adhere to. That's the heart of a wife. This is a marriage. This is a love affair, if I could be so bold, between the Shulamite and Solomon. I mean, this is a passionate thing happening here. The premise is love, not law. We found law in other books. This is not law here. This is love, that thou would love the Lord thy God. You want a break? You got a break. You got a break. And he just let her be where she wanted to be. But that soul made her in a very dark place. And she had to get out of that place with much travail. And we found that in chapter 3. And it was all healthy and good for her as she matured in love and in true union and in entering into him and his life into her. It was healthy, needful, and we all have to go through it. No one misses that point. We all fail. But it was tough. You know, is that break from the cross? Is that break from the Lamb in living union worth the dark night of your soul and all that will have to come to pass to bring you back into that living flow? Is it worth it? I just feel like the Lord wants to ask somebody that tonight. Is it worth it? Because there's no sneaking around. You'll lose ground. And that ground will have to be gotten back again. And that is what it is. It's not a commandment. It's not someone saying it or making it happen. It is what it is in all of our lives. And it will be that in yours and mine if we choose to feed our soul. That's just life. We all know it. We all know it. We all really know it. We've experienced it probably many, many times. Chapter 5, we were there last week. Her soul's a little more with him. There's been a greater entrance of thy word. The nature of the Lamb and spirit and life has possessed her inward parts to a much greater degree than chapter 2 and 3. She's growing, he's growing, and forming in her, taking ground in a governmental way. Absolutely, amen. It's happening through all that she's going through. But she still has that dagum soul wanting to take its break. Again, we saw it last week in chapter 5. I mean, he's calling her a fountain of gardens. He is calling her a well of living waters. Just the descriptions he has of his life growing in her and being fruitful through her is incredible. It's some of the most beautiful poetry in the universe. Straight out of the heart of God, to his church, to his wife, to his own. And yet, after that incredible release, I believe the end of chapter 4 and beginning of chapter 5, if my memory serves me correctly, you find him again wanting to live through her in a very specific way that will cost her soul. In chapter 5, it is definitely an invitation into the fellowship of his sufferings, which we are just crying out and receiving in the first Peter class in this semester in time, which it's 2020 if you're watching this in a later date. But this fellowshipping with him and his sufferings, and he wanting her, needing is a better word, needing her there with him in that way, at that moment. And she's like, I can't take my coat off. I can't get my feet dirty. All that you've done and made me by your life, you want me to be marred and with you and tarnished my image, my reputation. Wait a second. That you gave me, I mean, but how am I going to do this? And then you read the scriptures, you just pour your heart over those beautiful, beautiful verses. She does. He opens, wants to open the handle and the lock of her heart, the door of her heart. He reaches forth his dripping, myrrh-dripping hands like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat and blood, dripping, dripping with the spirit of the nature of the Lamb pouring his life out. He's dripping with the myrrh of it. He's reaching to the door of her heart. The myrrh's left there. When she finally responds and wants to open up to him and then let that happen, let that fellowship come, be with him where he's at, he's gone. Oh, that dagum soul. Dagum it, it did it again. What was the soul's first response? How am I going to do this? I mean, the cost to be with him where he's at in that death situation, that suffering of the Lamb in real time. I'm going to have to get dirty. I'm going to have to be thought evil of. There's going to be shame involved. It's going to be a very unpleasant experience for me. How do I do it? She's going through all of that. The myrrh's dripping. He's waiting. Wait. Where it come? And he's reaching into her heart. He's opening, wanting to open to me, my spouse. Open to me. Come, be with me. And he sees that soul starting to make her consider herself instead of his heart and needs. He saw that. He did. And I don't know. It's the Word of God. It isn't a storybook. It isn't something we're talking about or making up tonight. The Word of God declares that at a certain point he withdrew himself and is gone. And the interesting point is, at a certain point, her soul lined up and she was ready to go in and be with him. She's opening up. She's ready. This is in chapter 5 of the Song of Solomon. And he's gone. He's withdrawn. He's gone. And you can just see her go, oh, dang, come with that soul. One again. Oh. And what did it leave me? I don't care about my stupid clean feet. And I don't care about these things he's given me and all the reputation and ministry and riches of spirituality, quote unquote, that I had from him. Now that he's gone, I'd give it away 100 times to have him back. My soul. Oh, treasures things, but not him in those moments. I don't want it to win the day. I want it to respond to him. You know that was a deep crisis to her, because just like in chapter 2 and 3, she lost him in that way by her soul. And she this time went to the watchman and around the city streets, and she got smote. It was a rough deal. And instead of being with him in that smiting and rough deal, she's running around by herself because her soul won in the beginning. Well, he's in her. We're not saying that. And he was probably bringing her into the fellowship of his sufferings through what she went through. But what we are saying is that soul is being dealt with from chapter 1 to chapter 8 in the Song of Songs so that he can have her all the way. All the way. Back to chapter 6 where we started. So when she says this, listen to this verse that we read in the beginning. Listen to it now in light of what we've just talked about. Oh, how precious this moment would be to her heart. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 12. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab, like the people of a willing heart. Now, I want you to think about this, folks, because this is amazing. This is so beautiful. Her soul that won the day and made her go her own way and be alone where he was gone had been dealt with by the things that she applied the cross. She denied that soul. She dealt with it. She weaned it. She said no. She applied the cross of her own crucifixion. She went with God in the face of her own failures. And time and again through the Song of Songs, she's dealing with that wayward soul because she loves him and she doesn't want to have all his things, but not him in the deepest, most intimate way possible. Well, you keep being faithful in the little things. You keep denying that soul. You keep weaning that soul. You keep applying the cross of your own death that he died, but you make it real. Let it reach your heart. Things start to happen. Before I was aware, my soul made me like a chariot. A chariot is fast. It's fast. In chapter 2 and 3, in chapter 5, when she missed him, when her soul rose up and stole that opportunity away from her to be with him, it was because she was slow on the take. Her soul was like, I don't want to, I don't think so, no, the cost is too great, how can I do this? You be like a roe on the mountains of Bethair, I'm staying home. Wait a second, how can I get dirty? This is a hard situation. Her soul was just always slow to embrace the Lamb and let him live through her. And she's running through city streets crying, that old soul messed everything up again. Looking for him, you know, just where are that, let that life come, I want. But after dealing with it, dealing and being faithful to let the cross come and come and come and come and come and come, by chapter 6, she goes, before I was even aware of it, I don't even know how this happened. Good Lord, I'm not even sure how. Before I was even aware, my soul's like a chariot. A chariot that's going to move fast. A chariot of Aminadab, my people of a willing heart. My soul is like a fast moving vessel of the Lamb that says, I have a willing heart to be with you right away where you need me, whatever way you need me. Lamb of God, you're the love of my life. You are my life. My soul is not my life. I am crucified with Christ and I want the you of you. And now, after dealing with this wayward soul and not manipulating you and not trying to have my cake and eat it too, but really know the Lamb in oneness like a wife should, all of a sudden I'm seeing fruit in me. I don't have to roll around in bed crying out to God, wrestling with my soul, counting the cost over and over, then realizing, man, I should have just said yes right away because I don't want to be without him. I just want him. All those times, all those failures, all that wrestling, all that choosing, all that weaning, starting to pay off. Gee, oh my gosh, my soul's like a chariot now. And it's the chariot of a willing heart carrying the Lamb wherever so ever he wants to go. It's incredible imagery. It's incredible imagery. Watch the compliments that flow after that one. But it's not compliments to her. It's the beauty of her partaking of the way of the divine nature, his family spirit. This is how when the Father says, go to the cross, I may say not my will but thine, but there's a willingness, thy will be done. It's the willing heart of the Lamb. She's partaking of another heart, another spirit. That's his life in her. That's the way of the Godhead. That's the way of the divine nature. She's having a whole new reaction based on another life. But it came through applying his death, through denying her soul, through weaning her soul, through not trying to manipulate God and justify and get her way and sneak around and religionize things so she looks good, but there's no real Lamb there. You know, we may be able to do that to everybody and actually get our way and actually have our cake and look like we're eating it too. I mean, you can't do it to God. He knows. You cannot fool him. He's God. He's God. But oh, when that little heart turns to the Lord and says, yes, yes, in the face of my wayward soul, even after I fail, even when I have to run through city streets, yes, he hears those yeses. And the Spirit hears those yeses and he moves on the momentum of those yeses and does a new work in our hearts. And before we know it, there are changes in us that will allow the Lamb to come forth quickly. Instead of 2 years later, 10 years later, even 2 hours later, there's fruit. We've been talking about so many personal things, so many choices, and it hasn't been fun. But the beauty of it is, if you've really taken it in a personal way and applied it in a real way between you and God, there will be fruit in your life in ways you can't imagine, ways where the Lamb will begin to possess your inward parts. And you'll be able to bear his spirit quickly. Your first reaction will be to bless your enemies, not to just wrestle around with the injustice, sweating in your bed, crying out to God, it's not fair, just having attitudes. You let the bridegroom deal with you, the spirit of God, bring that cross deep, and all of a sudden, I'm with you. Bless him, Lord. I don't have to lose an hour of sleep. I don't have to let my mind roam at all with the knowledge of good and evil and injustice. I am with you. Like the chariots of Amminadab. Before I even knew it, my soul made me quick to just be with my beloved. Why waste the time? I know where we're going to end up together because I do love you. Why waste the time? Why lose the time when I could be with you? I mean, be with you in the way you need me, ministering, pouring in the oil and the wine and anointing you and loving you and being a bone and flesh of your spirit in this earth. Why would I waste that on a wayward soul when I could be giving you that? Oh, Lord, this is redounding back to you. It's not even about me getting more spiritual and more Jesus, more Lamb. I'm better now. I don't have my soul. It isn't about me. It's about you getting that one after your kind. So your heart, Lamb of God, can sing and sing your song. You can, the day of thine espousals, the day of the gladness of thine heart. Remember how the Lord just emphasized that in one of our past classes. The day of thine espousals is the day of the gladness of thy heart. This is for the gladness of the heart of God. The joy of the Lord is my strength to press past me straight into the true Him. Say no to my soul. No to taking a break. Taking a break from Jesus? No, let's not do it. Let's just be crazy and love him all the time. Let's just do it. Let's not be religious. Let's just not. Let's just say, hey, no, thank you. I choose to just be with him. It's really not a very deep thing. It's just love. I love him. I would rather be with him than my own soul or religion or whatever this earth wants to dish up to turn me away from H-I-M. That's fine. He is my portion in the land of the living. He is my portion. My soul could have many portions and many treasures, many riches. He is it. Then I'm going to die and be with him, world without end. And I'm going to stand my ground while I've got a flesh and body and a tabernacle on this earth to love him with, to let him inhabit as a lamb, to be a chariot to carry him forth wherever he wants to go, as fast as he wants to get there. That's me, part of the corporate bride. Amen. I ain't taking a break from that because he needs me. But your soul needs you too. And these situations need a lot of help too. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He'll take care of the rest. He says, you know what? All those things that really are needs, that your soul is so worried about, God says, let's make a deal. If you just love my son with all your heart and just seek him and seek him first and seek him fully, I'll take care of all that stuff. And that's going to free you up to take care of my son. If you take care of my son, I'll take care of your needs down there. Let's just make a deal. Matthew 6, the deal was made in the Word of God, cast in a furnace, tried 7 times. The Word of God is pure and it's tried 7 times in the furnace. I will take care of you if you take care of him. Be free to love my son in the darkest, busiest, most complicated hour of your life where your soul wants to pause and just, no, be like the chariots of Amminadab and just, whoo, I'm with him. Father's got it. I'm with him. Let's pray. Oh, we thank you. We thank you for a life, a day, another day tomorrow, another night tonight, a body with breath in it and blood flowing through it because it may not be there tomorrow. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds, but Lord, we know right now we have a body with breath in it to love your Son and be a chariot of Amminadab, to carry him forth wherever his sweet lamb heart wants to go through and in us. And we do not want to take a break from the Lamb of God, and we do not want to take a break because of our soul tempting us with things that are not treasure. They're not treasure compared to losing him in that intimate way of union with real life flowing. We pick up those little foxes. We take them off the vine, Lord. We take them off the vine, Lord. We say yes to the cross of our own crucifixion. And we say yes to the Lamb. And we say no to our soul. We follow you from within and without, Lord. We're surrounded. We're encompassed. We're one, Jesus. It's more real than the room we're in, than the body we eat, the breath in our mouth, the blood in our heart. You're more real, Lord. The Spirit made the earth and the flesh. You are what is important. Let all the earth be still and let the Lamb of God reign. Lord, yes, you're the answer to our soul, to our fear, to our needs, and to all the earth. You, may the whole earth stand in awe of you. May the whole earth stand in awe of you. We don't want to rage with the heathen. We want to be swallowed up of the Son of the Father's love and our life be intertwined, sealed up, found in him alone. Lord, make it more than a class, more than a teaching, more than a... Lord, let it be real for you in this moment. Today is the day of salvation. We harden not our heart. We make it as a chariot of Amminadab, willing to be yours and not seek to save and protect and feed our old life that you died to put away. Oh, Lord, move by your Spirit. Deal with hearts, Lord. Deal with hearts. Strive with hearts, Lord. Challenge hearts, Lord. Don't let us off the hook, Father. Deal with us, Lord. Don't let us get away with it, Lord. Don't let us get away with it, Lord. When it's easy, when no one's looking. You're looking, Lord. You're looking. You see, God. You see. And you're the one that matters. Deal with us, Lord. Deal with us, Lord. Until it's truly the bride you long for, the wife you need, the corporate bride that you had died and brought out of your side. Let it be, Lord, in real ways until you say, thank you, Father. I am not alone. In this moment, I am not alone. She said yes. She said yes. We pray this in Jesus' name.